If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Judges chapter 16 and verses 1 to 3, as we continue in our series, God Strong, Judges chapter 16 and verses 1 to 3. One day, Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. The people of Gaza were told, "Samson is here." So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, "At dawn, we'll kill him." But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate, together with the two posts, and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. And let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the words of that song. I just thank you. What a friend we do have in Jesus. I pray that you would just show us this morning, Lord, what an incredible Savior you are. You supply all of our need and deliver us. And thank you, Lord, for the fact that we can look forward to you coming again. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last June the 4th, NBA honchos finally came up with a plan to restart the 2020 NBA basketball season. Take the 22 teams with the best record, have them do a training camp, play some last regular season games, and then a final tournament to crown a champion at the Walt Disney Resort in Orlando, Florida, with players and coaches strictly quarantined so COVID-19 couldn't get in the bubble and shut the whole thing down. Nobody was supposed to leave, officially approved absences only. But then last July the 26th, Clippers guard Lou Williams got permission to go to a friend's funeral. And on the way back home, he was photographed at the Magic City Strip Club in Atlanta, Georgia. And when he was asked why he went there, he said this, "I was there because of the chicken wings, catfish nuggets, all the great stuff on their menu." Yeah, right, because all strip clubs are known for their gourmet food. Folks, how could Lou Williams be that stupid and risk getting COVID-19 and spreading it to all the other NBA players and ruining the whole thing? I'll tell you how. Because Lou Williams is a sinner, just like Samson, just like us. But the text we have in front of us this morning tells us about the only Savior who can save us from that. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called God Strong, looking at the story of Samson to see how we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might for the times that we're living in, just like Samson was. Last time, we looked at how we can overcome our enemies and fulfill the calling of God in our life. And today, we look at how we can overcome the biggest enemy of all, and that's our own sin, by the same Savior that Samson shows us here in this text. And to see that, we turn today to Judges chapter 16 and verses 1 to 3. Judges chapter 16 starts about 20 years after Samson killed 1,000 Philistine soldiers, and his sin is getting more and more out of control. But our text today, Samson does three things to show us how much we need a Savior. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today it's the exact same Savior that Samson points to here himself. Our text this morning, Judges chapter 16, verses 1 to 3, tells us three things that we need to do to have a God-strong Savior and fulfill the calling of God in our lives. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to have a God-strong Savior, we need to understand sin, understand why we need a Savior. And we see that in verse 1, because Samson definitely needs a Savior here. Notice, he goes to Gaza, which wasn't just one of the five Philistine cities along the coast of Israel. It was their holy city, because the temple to Dagon was there, the city that was furthest away from Samson's home. And Samson goes there to have a one-night stand with a hooker that he met on Craigslist. So Samson goes from trying to marry a Philistine girl to hooking up with a Philistine prostitute. How many all realize the more we sin, the further we get away from God? Because that sin enslaves us, just like it did Samson here. Now today, Samson would be diagnosed by a counselor with a sex addiction because he couldn't keep his zipper up. And if Samson had a phone, he'd have been Anthony Weiner and all over the place. Good thing the guy didn't get married because he'd have never been able to stay faithful to a wife. Samson was called to be a deliverer, but instead he was a womanizer and a gigolo. That slavery to sin was trashing the calling of God on his life. Just like it does for every single one of us. Just like it does for everybody else. The virus whisperer, Dr. Anthony Fauci, who preaches that we gotta wear a mask and we gotta social distance throughout the first pitch of Major League Baseball season last July the 23rd, wearing a mask. But then just minutes later, he was seen in the stands sitting right next to two friends with the mask pulled down. Talk about do as I say and not as I do. Comedian Ellen DeGeneres, who preaches tolerance on her talk show, is now being outed as a monster, not letting other people look at her, sending guests home if she thinks they have bad breath, and trying to get waitresses and restaurants fired just if they have chipped fingernail polish. And what is Ellen's motto? She says all the time, be kind. Folks, our sin will find us out. Last December, youth pastor Paul Bowen from Gadsden, Alabama, who has a nationwide youth ministry, who writes all kinds of books about it, who speaks at youth conferences all over the world, was sentenced to 1,000 years in prison for 28 counts of criminal sexual abuse of multiple boys ages 13 to 16. This is what Paul Bowen said. I have been bound by this sinful obsession for years, and the shame over the damage I've done to those boys and to my life before God is overwhelming. That slavery to sin absolutely destroyed the calling of God in his life. So Christians, let me ask us this morning, what are we enslaved to? Is it sex and lust like Samson? Is it porn? Is it drinking? Is it opioids, those little oxycodone that you can't stop taking? Is it the anger problems? The jealousy? The constant worry that never goes away? Because Paul says, Romans chapter 7, verse 14, every single one of us is sold out as a slave to sin. So what is it that has us bound? The whole story to Samson reminds us how much we need a Savior. Ourselves. Just like Samson, we are called by God to save other people. First of all, we need to get saved ourselves. Because of what sin does to us. The Bible says that our God is so holy and so righteous, our sin separates us from God and causes us to deserve punishment from God. And if something isn't done about that sin will separate us from God for eternity in a place called hell. But the good news is, God loved us so much, in spite of our sin, 2,000 years ago, He sent Jesus Christ, His only Son, down to this earth. And Jesus lived a perfect life and then died a perfect death on the cross. And the Bible says when Jesus was hanging, dying on that cross, all the sin that you and I committed was placed on Jesus. All the punishment that we deserve for our sin was placed on Jesus' shoulders. He took it all. He died the death that we should have died. He took our place. And the Bible says Jesus' death on the cross paid the price for our sin, the perfect righteousness that was necessary. So all we need to do right now is confess our sins to God, put our faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross as the only thing that can take our sins away, and ask Jesus Christ to come into our heart and be our Savior. Amen. We do that, we'll be forgiven, we are good with God, and the Holy Spirit will come in and start making us into the kind of people that God originally created us to be. Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's only Jesus Christ that does that. Because Jesus Christ is the only one or the only thing that can really change people's hearts. And that's the key. Last month in July, in Chicago, 585 people shot, 105 people killed in 1 month. Including last July the 30th, little 9-year-old Janari Ricks shot and killed by that gangbanger right there. And I guess I don't understand why, because 3 Christopher Columbus statues were taken down in Chicago. And the protesters said it was Christopher Columbus that was causing all the oppression and all the shooting and the killing. So why didn't Chicago instantly become Shangri-La-Di-Da Valley? I'll tell you why. Because it doesn't matter what Christopher Columbus did or didn't do 600 years ago. What matters is what young black men in Chicago are doing right now as drug dealers and gangbangers, which itself is the result of a 75% illegitimate birth rate in the black community and too many young black men not stepping up and being fathers and raising the babies that they're making. The problem is not skin color, because too many white men are doing exactly the same thing. The problem is character, just exactly like Dr. Martin Luther King said. But see, you say that today, that's racist. Okay. Don't deal with the problem. You keep having the problem. Taking responsibility for your actions and trusting Jesus Christ to change your heart and your life. That is absolutely the only way that you can be saved. It is absolutely the only way that you can have a God-strong Savior. I don't care what color you are. And don't you dare stand for anything else. Of all the professional sports that have totally sold out to Black Lives Matter, NBA basketball is the worst. Because Clippers owner Steve Ballmer said the number one reason they even restarted the 2020 season was to give players even more opportunity to protest. So at the NBA tournament down there in Orlando, the words Black Lives Matter are painted on the court. And players wear Black Lives Matter t-shirts for warm-ups. And some of the players, instead of the names on the back of their jersey, they have social justice slogans like ally and equality and I can't breathe. And of course, everybody takes a knee for the national anthem. Players, coaches, ball boys, even the referees, for crying out loud. Everybody but one. Because game three, that first day between the Brooklyn Nets and the Orlando Magic, an African-American player for the Magic, 22-year-old star Jonathan Isaac, didn't wear a Black Lives Matter t-shirt during warm-ups. And didn't have a social justice slogan on the back of his jersey. And didn't take a knee for the national anthem. The first person associated with any team up to that point that didn't. And why didn't Jonathan Isaac take a knee? Because he's a born-again Christian. And he said this, kneeling or putting on a Black Lives Matter t-shirt is not the answer. Because black lives are really only supported by the gospel of Jesus Christ. All lives are only really supported by the gospel. And of course, he took a lot of heat for that. Other players and fans ragging on him. Protesters calling him Oreo and Uncle Tom. A sports writer named Dane Moore said this, I don't know why he wouldn't take a knee as a symbol of unity or why he would be intentional about not wearing a Black Lives Matter t-shirt. Well, I know why. Because taking a knee today is not a symbol of unity. It's a symbol that America is systemically racist and needs to be destroyed. And because Black Lives Matter is not any kind of an organization that builds things up or makes things better, because it only exists to tear things down and make things worse. And most importantly, Black Lives Matter doesn't save people. Only Jesus does. Jonathan Isaac said this, we all do things that are wrong, so protesting to say who's more wrong or who's the worst is useless. The Bible tells us we all fall short of the glory of God and we all need Christ because that's what brings us together and gets us past skin color. Nothing else besides Jesus gets in and changes the hearts of men and women. And if people would just accept Christ as their Savior and let Him change their hearts, we wouldn't have racism as a problem to argue about or fight about to begin with. That's why Jonathan Isaac didn't take a knee. And what do you know? After he did that, even though he tore his ACL and now is out for the rest of the year, his jersey became the number one selling NBA jersey in the entire United States. Christians, we are not alone. And we will not bow down or take a knee for anybody or anything for any reason in the whole wide world until we get to heaven and take a knee and bow down in the presence of Jesus Christ and give Him praise and glory for how He saved us from our sin. We'll take a stand for Him now so we can take a knee for Him later. The first thing we need to do to have a God-strong Savior, we need to understand sin. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to have a God-strong Savior. We not only need to understand sin, we also need to trust Him for deliverance. And that's exactly what Samson shows us here in verses 2 and 3. Now, Samson stuck out like a sore thumb when he was in Gaza because he was public enemy number one there. He showed his face. Everybody knew he was there because his picture was all over the Amber Alerts on everybody's phone. And the Philistines figured that since he was going to be in that cat house all night long with a prostitute getting his money's worth, and the gates of the city were always closed and locked every night, and the gate was the only way out of the city, they'd wait by the gates until morning and then catch him and kill him on his way out of Dodge. So the trap was set. Samson was dead meat. But, verse 3, God delivered him from death. Because Samson didn't wait until morning. He got up in the middle of the night because the Wendy's drive-thru was open late. And verse 3 says, he took hold of those gates, two stories tall. And notice all the detail there in verse 3 to tell us how incredible this was. Samson took those gates, two stories tall, along with a post that attached the gates to the walls, with the sockets and the pins, along with that big heavy bar that laid behind the gates so that invaders couldn't push the gates in when they attacked the city. Samson took the whole kit and caboodle and ripped them right out of the wall. And of course, critics say, nah, that could have never happened because there were soldiers there by the gates. The soldiers surely would have seen him and heard him do that. Of course they did. Who said they didn't? Folks, let me ask you, if you saw a man do something as mind-blowing as that, would you try to stop him? I ain't going out there. You go out there. What does a 5,000-pound gorilla do? Anything he wants. Now, archaeologists say that those gates were covered with iron to keep invaders from burning them when they were attacking the city. And the iron weighed even more than the wood. The rabbi said that those gates and the posts and the sockets and the pins and the bar weighed over 8,000 pounds. One of the strongest human beings who ever lived was a born-again Christian named Paul Anderson. 5 feet 10 inches tall, 365 pounds, with a 50-inch chest. 1956, super heavyweight Olympic weightlifting champion that set all kinds of world records for weightlifting. 410-pound clean and press, 440-pound clean and jerk, 1,200-pound squat, 628-pound bench press, 870-pound deadlift. I could go on and on. But June 12th, 1957, in what they call a backlift, in other words, grabbing it from behind and lifting up like this, Paul Anderson lifted a lead trestle with lead pilings on it, 6,270 pounds, 4 inches off the ground. The most weight ever lifted by a human being. Except for Samson. Because Samson not only took those 8,000 pounds worth of gates, lifted them off the ground, he cleaned and jerked them, put them on his back, and then carried them for 38 miles uphill all the way to a city called Hebron. That's how strong Samson was by the power of the Holy Spirit, and probably didn't break a sweat. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Samson was delivered from death by carrying away the gates of death. In a case, what Samson did here reminds you a little bit of what Jesus did with the cross and with the tomb. It's because it's supposed to. Because what Samson did here is a foreshadow of what Jesus would do later on in his death and resurrection. Samson faced death because of his sin. Jesus faced death because of our sin. Samson was trapped in the gate. Jesus was trapped in the tomb. The Philistine soldiers guarding the gate thought Samson was dead. The Roman soldiers guarding the tomb thought Jesus was dead. Samson surprised the Philistine soldiers by getting up early. Jesus surprised the Roman soldiers by rising from the dead and getting up early. Samson blew the doors off that city and conquered death. Jesus blew the doors off the tomb and conquered death. Samson picked up those gates, put them on his shoulders, and carried them away. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 4 says, when Jesus was on the cross, He took all the sins that we committed, plus all the sins that everybody else committed against us, all the griefs, all the sorrows, and bore them. And that word bore in Hebrew literally means Jesus picked them up, put them on His shoulders, and carried them away. The name of that city, Gaza, literally means stronghold. So Samson carried away the stronghold of that city, just like Jesus carries away all the strongholds in our life. Because when Jesus is on the cross, He not only took away the penalty for our sin, He also took away the power of our sin, the power and the hold that sin has over us to keep us bound. Amen. All of it. Worship leader Corey Asbury was delivered from a 14-year porn addiction. Guy wrote the song Reckless Love, delivered from a 14-year porn addiction by the power of Jesus Christ. Pop singer Justin Bieber, delivered from an addiction to drugs and sex addiction by the power of Jesus Christ. Actress Jessica Simpson just got out of a 6-month rehab for addiction to alcohol and vodka because she was delivered by the power of Jesus Christ. Country singer Lindsay L. was raped when she was 13 years old and again when she was 21 years old and went through hell. Last fall, she was finally delivered of all the memories and the nightmares and the flashbacks and the PTSD by the power of Jesus Christ. And this is what she said. I did all kinds of counseling and therapy with some great counselors, but what really gave me the power to let loose of all the trauma and give it up was Jesus. By depending on His strength, I was able to put this behind me and start moving on free and clear. All glory to God. People, listen to me. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what's been done to you. I don't care what it is in your life right now that may have you by the throat and that has you bound. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that's got a stranglehold on you right now that Jesus Christ can't deliver you from. If you trust Him to do it. One of the biggest things that Jesus sets us free from is the fear of dying. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, one day because of our sin, unless Jesus Christ comes first, every single one of us is going to die. Last July the 8th, former Glee actress Naya Rivera died from drowning at the age of 33. Last July the 12th, John Travolta's wife, Kelly Preston, died from breast cancer at the age of 57. Last July the 24th, Regis Philbin died at the age of 88. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, as in Adam, all die. There are no exceptions. But see, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead and walked out of that tomb on that feast Easter Sunday, He left the grave wide open for everybody who trusts in Him as Savior. So even though one day, because of our sin, we are going to die here, that just means immediately we're going to start living over there in the presence of Jesus Christ in heaven forever and ever. To be absent from the body is to be immediately present with the Lord. That's what takes away the fear of dying. That is the only thing that takes away the fear of dying. Will Carroll is a lead singer of a demonic thrash band called Death Angel. And last May, he got COVID-19 and slipped into a coma for 12 days. And when he finally came to, last May the 20th, he told everybody he had all these horrible dreams about the devil. I wonder why. And about being in hell and suffering in hell. And it scared him so bad, he prayed to receive Christ and got saved. And this is what Will Carroll said. I don't think Satan's quite as cool as I used to think he was. And now that I have Christ, I'm not afraid of dying anymore. Amen. You trust Jesus Christ for deliverance, He takes the fear away. If you really trust Him. Last Sunday, July the 5th, I closed our service here at Fox River by praying, God, bring us into contact with somebody that we can share the gospel with before we go to sleep tonight. Remember that? Well, be careful what you pray for. Because later on that night, right before midnight, Sue was leaving, going somewhere early the next morning. So I ran her car up to the Norway store to fill it with gas. And when I got there, there was a 22-year-old kid who was half drunk with a red Toyota Corolla who was filling up his car. So I got out and started putting gas in Sue's car. He looked around the pump and he said, dude, what do you think is going on with the world right now? What do you think about everything that's happening right now? And I said, well, I think it's an absolute mess. And he said, for sure, I'm only 22 years old and I am scared to death. He said, all the riots and the shooting going on, I'm afraid somebody's going to break into my house and steal my stuff and kill me. And I'm scared to death because I don't know what's going to happen to me if I died. Dude, do you think I ought to get a gun? Because I can't take this anymore. All I did was go to the Norway store to get some gas. And then God told me, He said, remember that prayer you prayed in church this morning? This is the guy I sent for you to witness to. So I told him, I said, everything's messed up today because people don't know the Lord. And I said, the reason you're scared is because you don't have Christ. But He created you and He loves you and He died on a cross for your sins. And if you would just accept Him as your Savior, you'd have peace. And he stood there looking at me like I just asked him to marry a moose. And all of a sudden, he stopped pumping gas, jumped in his car, didn't even wait for a receipt, said, dude, you have a nice night, and got out of there as fast as he possibly could. You got to actually believe it and trust it. Amen. There's people sitting in this church right now, listen to this sermon. The Bible says because of our sin, one day we are going to die. And it's that fear of dying that the devil uses to lock people down and ruin their lives. But 3 days after Jesus Christ died on the cross, He rose from the dead and is never going to die again. And by simple faith in Jesus Christ and what He did for us, even though one day we're going to die because of our sin, we're not going to die again either, because we're going to be living forever in the presence of Jesus Christ in heaven. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14, by His death, Jesus destroyed the devil and set free those who were enslaved by the fear of death. All you have to do is trust Him. The second thing that we need to do in order to have a God-strong Savior, we need to trust Him for deliverance. Third thing in this text. A third thing that we need to do to have a God-strong Savior. We not only need to understand sin, we not only need to trust Him for deliverance, but third, we need to look forward to His coming. Because that's exactly what Samson is doing here in verse 3. Now, when verse 3 says, Samson took hold of those gates, the Hebrew literally says he took control or took possession of those gates. And Jeremiah chapter 51 verse 30 says to take possession of the gates of the city meant that you conquered that city because you took away their biggest defense and their biggest security. So by carrying away the gates of that city, Samson wasn't just escaping. He was humiliating the Philistines and their god Dagon. Don't get caught with your gates down. And he was also saying that city was destroyed. But the question is, who was going to destroy it? Because Samson dies here in Gaza at the end of this chapter. Well, Genesis chapter 22, verse 17, one of the promises that God gave to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all their descendants, the Israelites, is that one day they would possess all the gates of their enemies. Meaning the Israelites would conquer the entire promised land, and not one city, not one people would be able to stand up against them, including the Philistines. But again, who was going to defeat them? Well, notice, Samson takes these gates and carries them 38 miles uphill and puts them on a hill overlooking the city of Hebron. Well, why Hebron? Because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all buried in Hebron. So God's promise of victory would come through a descendant of Abraham who would come out of Hebron. And what do you know? 100 years after Samson, David was anointed king of Israel in the city of Hebron. And the first 7 years of his kingdom, David ruled out of Hebron. And 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 13, David, out of Hebron, finally beat the Philistines into submission once and for all. So when Samson carries away these gates, he's not just showing off. He's sending a message. Even if he didn't realize it because he was led by the Spirit, Samson started the deliverance of Israel from the Philistines. King David was going to finish it. And those gates of Gaza on top of that hill overlooking Hebron were the proof. Now, what does that mean for us Christians today? Well, because we Christians are spiritual descendants of Abraham, that means we're going to possess all the gates of our enemies too. But see, King David died 3,000 years ago. So we're looking for a new King David to come. And that, of course, is Jesus Christ. Because He came the first time as King of the Jews, He's going to come again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, we await a Savior from heaven. And when Jesus does come, we are going to possess all the gates of our enemies, because every city, every country, every kingdom of this world is going to become the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are going to reign and rule with Him over all those things forever and ever and ever. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, even so, come Lord Jesus. And folks, don't tell me that we Christians don't need to hear that today. Now that hill where Samson placed those gates of Gaza across from the city of Hebron was the highest mountain in all of southern Israel. So all the Israelites there could look at those gates on top of that hill and know, no matter how bad things were, no matter what was being done to them, or how bad they were being oppressed, those gates told them for certain, for sure, that victory was still coming. And Christians, we need to remember exactly the same thing. Because I got to tell you, things ain't looking very good for us out there right now. Protesters in Portland are now burning Bibles. Burning Bibles, people. If that doesn't tell you what those protests are all about, I don't know what does. America absolutely rejecting the principles this nation was founded on and the God who made her great. God, have mercy on our souls. The murder rate is up 139% in America's biggest cities. Yeah, let's defund the police. Just last July the 30th, a 17-year-old activist in Chicago named Caleb Reed, who was leading the charge to defund the police in Chicago and get all cops out of Chicago public schools, was himself shot in the head and killed. Now, we don't need the police at all. Folks, if you think people freaked out when they couldn't find toilet paper, what are they going to do when they can't find a cop? Politicians like J.B. Pritzker and Nancy Pelosi want everybody on permanent lockdown because of COVID-19. Keep the schools closed, even though kids and teachers are far more likely to be killed by being struck by lightning than they are by COVID-19. Not to mention all the high school age students in this country who have overdosed and committed suicide because politicians will not let them go back to school. But hey, just quit your job, stay home, and get free money from the government. And do a mail-in election so they can steal it for Joe Biden. People can wear a mask and stand in line to buy legalized marijuana. But we can't stand in line and wear a mask to cast a ballot at a polling place. Does anybody else see how obvious this is, or is it just me? Permanent lockdown. Meanwhile, the divorce rate, domestic violence, addictions, suicide, murder rate is going through the roof. But hey, let's just make everything as bad as we possibly can so everybody gets as sick of it as they possibly can. So this coming November, they'll vote for change. Any change at all, even a Marxist cancel cult that'll take away our freedoms forever. Because that's the plan. Black Lives Matter is now in charge of all professional sports. Big Tech is now censoring all conservative speech on social media. Christians, there is a lot of gloom and doom out there. But we've got to remember, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, and we are going to win. So what Samson was telling the Israelites back then is exactly the same thing that the Holy Spirit is telling us Christians today. The King is coming. The King is coming, and the gates of the enemy are coming down. So Christians, for crying out loud, quit heading for the tall grass and start storming the gates of hell to keep away as many people from there as possible. 9 years ago, New Sound Church in Fort Collins, Colorado, had 17 people and were meeting in a strip mall. While one block away, the hotspot strip club was booming, drawing people from all over the state. So 9 years ago, 2011, those 17 Christians started praying like crazy that that strip club would close so they could buy the building. Because God had given them a vision, they were going to have a lot of growth in that building, in that place. So those 17 people started standing out in front of that strip club, storming the gates of hell in prayer, day after week after month after year for 8 solid years. Then finally, last year, 2019, what do you know? After 8 years, the owner of that strip club got saved. He became a member of New Sound Church. He closed his strip club and gave the building for free to that congregation. That's what it looked like before. This is what it looks like now. Christians, it works. Victory is ours. So storm the gates of hell, because when we do, we get a little glimpse of heaven. Just like they do. Of all the states that are cracked down because of COVID-19, the one that has slammed Christians the most is California. Because Governor Gavin Newsom has closed the churches there, or limited to 10 Christians on a Sunday. And they can't sing. And they have to wear masks. And they have to do social distancing. And they have to self-quarantine for 2 weeks afterwards, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, protesters in California can congregate by the thousands, march right next to each other, scream and spit all over each other without wearing masks or social distancing at all. And that's fine. But going to church and lifting up Jesus, that's a crime against humanity. Talk about hypocritical. So last April, a 32-year-old worship leader named Sean Foyt from Redding, California, decided to do something about it. So he started an organization called Hold the Line to fight government interference in the church. But even more importantly, he started doing what he calls Let Us Worship events. Mass open-air concerts right next to the Pacific Ocean on the beaches of California, all up and down the coast. Since Christians can't worship inside, they'll worship outside. And since protests in California seem to be legal without masks or social distancing, he calls his events worship protests. So the Christians there don't have to wear masks or social distance either. What's fair for one is fair for all. People, the church in California has left the building. And God is using these events like crazy. So far, Sean Foyt has held these worship concerts in San Francisco, San Diego, Huntington Beach, Fresno, Redding, Bakersfield, Pasadena. I could go on and on. And they're not political at all. And people just show up by the thousands, right there next to the Pacific Ocean. And there's some preaching, and people get saved, and they get baptized in the surf. People get prayed over for healing. Christians rededicate their life to Christ. But the most important feature of those meetings is praise and worship. People just lifting up Jesus. And with all the fear and the panic and the worry and the turmoil about the pandemic and the economy and the protests and America being up for grabs, that is exactly, Christians, what we need the most. Because when we lift up Jesus, He lifts us up too. Here's just a little taste of what those meetings are like. Now, Instagram is taking down Sean Foyt videos like that because they claim they're harmful and false information. Are you kidding me? So riot videos are fine, but worship videos are not. So much for free speech. But folks, when is the last time you saw a couple of thousand people anywhere on the West Coast when they weren't burning or looting or tearing something apart? Folks, there is revival going on right now on the beaches of California, the greatest move of God since the Jesus people in the 1970s. For heaven's sakes, get under the spot where the glory comes out. Amen. And what an incredible picture that gives us of what heaven is going to be like. Those people standing there on that beach, just like we're going to be standing there someday in heaven. And not beside the Pacific Ocean, but beside the crystal sea. And nobody burning Bibles, because the word of our Lord will stand forever. And no protesters, because if they don't want to worship God, they'll be in another place anyway. And there won't be any coronavirus, because the curse will have all been taken away. And we won't be socially distancing, because we'll all be standing before the throne. And there won't be any masks because we'll all see Jesus face to face. And we won't have to self-quarantine afterwards because forever and eternity we will be standing before the throne praising the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and crying, "Holy, holy, holy." People, Jesus is coming. He's coming to take us home. And the kingdoms of the world shall become the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ. And on that day, He will be the only King, and His name will be the only name, and we will possess all the gates of our enemies, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. On heaven's blissful shore, His goodness we'll adore, singing forevermore, hallelujah, amen. And people, I am so sure that Jesus is coming, and I am so sure that we're going to win, it's all over but the shouting and the singing. I am so sure that we're going to be standing before the throne of God and singing His praises for eternity. Why can't we do a little throne practice right now and get a little glimpse of what heaven's going to be ourselves? Would you stand up where you're at right now? We have a God-strong Savior, Christians, a Savior that is worth standing up for. So right now, stand up for Him, take a stand for Him, stand in awe of Him. And let's worship.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp Your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of Your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of You. I stand in awe of You, holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe of You. Yes, I stand in awe of You. I stand in awe of You, holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe of You. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp Your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of Your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And yes, I stand in awe of You, holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe of You. Yes, I stand in awe of You.
That You are a God who is worth standing for. Lord, we stand in awe of You today, even on this side of the veil. Just thank You, Lord, for that victory You won for us at the cross. Thank You for the deliverance You give us through simple faith. Thank You for the fact, Lord, that You are coming again someday to take us home. And we will praise You forever. I pray, Lord, You continue to show us people around us who need You so much. Put those words in our mouth. Give us the boldness, Lord, and the courage to open our mouths and speak. Take a stand for what's right. Most importantly, winning people to Your kingdom. All these things we ask in Your name and thank You. Amen. You may be seated.